It is not a holiday weekend until you've gotten live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Beautiful holiday weekend so far?
I mean, wind is blowing, everything's wet,
right?
Soggy.
Mm-hmm.
We went from having a drought to certainly not having a drought.
We got all the rain. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ask my basement how much they like the rain.
Yeah, yeah. No. I don't want to. It's probably very full. Much like my yard. Yeah, yeah. And that's the weather. I like that part of our Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really do, man. I really
could
do.
Talk food, too.
It's on my list. Actually, my next page is a bunch of notes of food. But we could. But
where to go, where not to go.
It's sports. It's right in that kind of lull of sports season. For me, we get the NBA playoffs are making their way to the finals. Four teams that I've really enjoyed watching for the entire playoffs.
It's been good playoffs. I mean, it's been competitive, not really. I mean, except for the East, Celtics have pretty much been blowing everybody out.
I mean, the Celtics are the only team with more than 7 healthy players, it seems like. So they seem to be winning. They have a ton of talent, and they seem to be winning like they're supposed to. They were the best team in the East and the best team in basketball.
If they don't win at all, huge disappointment. Probably.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big, big time.
You think they break it all down and just go, okay, what's going on?
Most teams like that, you can't just break it all the way down because they're not broken. What it is is last year, they replaced their head coach. Their head coach, Ime Udoka, got fired for doing some slimy stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And he got replaced by their longtime assistant, I think it's Joe Mazzulla his name. It was his first time as a head coach last year, and they put a lot of the early exit from the playoffs that the Celtics had last year, they put directly on the head coach.
Sure.
That was the question all year. Is this coach, does he have it? Does he know how to be a head coach?
Sure.
And it didn't look like it last year. This year, they've won like 7 more games in the regular season. The East hasn't looked as good as it did last year.
No.
And so it maybe covers up the fact that they still have a pretty inexperienced coach. That being said, he's done it right all year. They've had 2 really good players in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They've had role players playing real big, really well. They have a Marquette player on their team.
Yeah.
Yep. Sam Hauser. They've got a local guy on their roster.
Local-ish.
Well, local-ish. Wisconsin. You know, that's pretty darn local. But they're winning. They have point guards that play. They have guard play. You can't tear that roster down. Kind of the same way.
Will they need to add something though to it? Do you think?
I mean,
I don't know what, but
they're the best team. They're the best team. That's if you're the best team, you don't need to add.
Shouldn't
need to add anything. Other teams are trying to catch you. You're kind of like with the Bucks. Your roster is kind of stuck where it's at. Boston has
Jaylen Brown and Tatum are like monster contracts.
Yeah, they have large contracts that you can't. Not only are they hard to match up contracts and trade players like that, but because of how much they make, your team isn't allowed to make trades except for very specific money window.
Sure.
You're not allowed to take a trade back that doesn't take you a bunch of money. So no, teams that at this spot, the Celtics are definitely they are who they are. They're fun to watch too. I did watch that game yesterday. I was rooting for Indiana.
Yeah.
Turns out I am a Pacers. I've been a Pacers. I like their teams back in the 90s were some of my favorite NBA teams of all times with Reggie Miller and Jalen Rose and Rick Smits, the Duncan Dutchman. Yeah, I like those teams a lot. Reggie Miller was one of my all-time favorite. If he's on your team's going to win players. Yeah. So watching Tyrese Haliburton, who is from Wisconsin. He went to Iowa State, but he's from, I want to say it's Racine St. Catharines or Milwaukee something.
Sure.
So watching him has been really nice through his career. And then he got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Much like it seems like every playoff series,
somebody
is out for.
I mean, unless they're Knicks and it's just everybody's dropping like flies.
Right. The whole team started out and they somehow managed to win a lot of games.
A lot of games with 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Indiana didn't. They were missing their best player in the third and fourth quarter, and they're not a team that can win. That's a team that probably couldn't have beaten Milwaukee without Tyrese Haliburton.
Sure.
And they cannot beat Boston without all of their players playing A-plus basketball.
So the way the West is looking out, we got my Timberwolves against Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, we do.
Right now, do you think the Dallas Mavericks, if they win the whole series, beat Boston?
No. No.
No, you don't think so?
I think they do. There's nothing that's shown me...
after one game, anyway. I mean,
that the Mavericks... Like Luka Doncic is not much of a defensive player. I don't know. It's a great series because the two best players on each team will spend a lot of time guarding each other.
Sure.
If it's Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic and Jaylen Brown.
I'm just saying that Kyrie now in the playoffs has looked way different.
Sure.
Way better than he has in a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game one, that first game, he was just – he looked like the Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland.
Yeah. No, it looks like – I mean, I say a lot of times it looks like a video game.
Sure.
But the way footwork...
He was aggressive.
Yeah, footwork is one of those things in sports that never gets credit.
Sure.
You know, because you don't watch players' feet in tennis or golf or basketball or football. But, like, the footwork that a quarterback has makes him great or average,
sure.
Right? Like, Jordan Love last year had some games where his footwork was bad. You could watch him fading away on side, and he was throwing interceptions. He stopped doing that. He started... winning games. Kyrie Irving has the best footwork in the NBA.
I mean, at one point, he was considered one of the best.
Yes.
You know?
There's still nothing... I mean, at the end of his career, he's a Hall of Famer. He'll have as good of a career as, say, Isaiah Thomas. Or any point... He's not Steph Curry.
The last part of this... his tender right now at Dallas looks like it's rejuvenating him.
Sure.
You know? He's, he's not doing those real... weird antics.
Yeah,
you know,
he doesn't look like he's pouting.
He looks like he's so comfortable, and he gets his role. I mean, at some point, some of these guys have got to mature a little bit. You know, because when he came out, he was what 20, 21
years
old.
He was after his freshman year at Duke, in which he only played about 10 games because he got hurt. He was the number one overall pick to the Cavs in a rebuilding, and he was 19. He was 19 years old. He's still not 30. You know, he's like 30-year-old player.
32.
Is he already?
Yeah, he's 32.
Wow. Well, time goes fast.
Yeah. See, I mean, we don't count those times he was at Brooklyn Nets.
And I honestly...
That was horrible.
Speaking on Dallas, I really like watching Luka Doncic play basketball.
I don't right now.
Man, he looks... Well, I mean, beating the Timberwolves, like I said, I'm not all the way into Timberwolves fandom yet. I haven't gotten quite as deep as you've managed to get.
Right.
But Luka Doncic is fun to watch because he looks like a guy at an open gym. He plays like uncle basketball.
Yeah, sure.
He makes all the right passes. He looks like he's in slow motion. He plays defense, but he's not real athletic.
Just like Joker at Denver. Same.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Those are the...
Except Jokic is a lot better.
I mean, if you were going to rank players, like Luka Doncic is a 99 overall.
Yeah.
Right? Luka Doncic is right behind him. All of those, Nikola Jokic is a 100.
Yeah,
they're really, really. You would get the same results, I believe, from either player.
Sure.
Just happens that Nikola Jokic is 7 feet tall and 280 pounds. Back to, you want to talk Timberwolves then?
I mean, they didn't look good Monday, but you know the one stat that's kind of, I was listening to one of the shows and one of the stat there was one of the betting guys and he goes, game number one of the next series after they win game seven,
mm-hmm.
that team always loses because you just, I mean, that last series, I mean, it was with Denver, you know,
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot out of you to try to recuperate. And
the fact that they came back in the fourth quarter of a game seven down double digits and managed to win a game
and the series,
it was pretty impressive. That does take a lot out.
Yep.
From
so,
that first game.
Game one, they did not look sharp. They looked just discombobulated. They took like 49 or 53 three-point shots.
Yes, that's not, unless you're making like 25 of them, thing to do. They were chucking it. A lot of chucking the basketball.
They looked like they were uncomfortable. Ant was really looking uncomfortable.
Their two best offensive players are Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns.
Yep.
Both former number one overall picks and supremely talented offensive players. They went a combined 12 of 36, which is 33% from the field. That is not going to win you games in the regular season, let alone in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving, between Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, they scored a combined 63 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. They shot 50% from the field. And it was still only a three-point game.
Yeah.
Which tells you that Minnesota's right there. All it would have taken is Anthony Edwards going 8 for 16.
Or not getting a offensive goaltending.
Correct. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because they were tied, if not a little bit. They had a lead for just a short bit. But they're right there.
Yes.
So, yeah, as bad as they were shooting,
mm-hmm.
that means their defense was still doing stuff they needed to do. You know?
They only gave up 108 points to a really high-scoring offensive team. No, they looked looked right there. As bad as they did look, they looked like they could win this game.
Yeah.
They looked like a team that was the number one overall seed.
And
like,
I think
they
right now,
good.
For tonight's game, I think they're still...
They're the favorites.
Yeah,
by...
no, like 3-4 points.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah.
I mean, I will be trying to watch that game when I get home tonight.
They didn't do some adjusting is what they need to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And just like in all sports, it is those little adjustments. And you see them from game to game just on how they maybe trap a guy on defense or who they choose to let shoot in spots where they figure out, like, okay, this guy's not good at shooting from here. Let's force him into this corner.
Sure.
Yeah, basketball, the coaches really do earn their money in these seven-game series because they have a day to prep. They got the day to get it together.
Watch film,
and then they're on to the next one.
Okay.
That's NBA.
Yeah, I think so. That's all there is.
Yeah, there's only four teams. That's unless
Final
no
four.
Right. Next we got the Brewers. No. That's about as excited as it should be. Me too.
While I'm working in the kitchen, we have a TV that's out at the bar area.
Nice.
And they have usually the Brewer games. So I've been watching some of it. They've been kind of up and down a little bit.
As I've been saying, basically since they started out the season at like 15-4 and then have gone .500 ever since. Yeah, I want to get more excited about them being in first place still. It's, you know, we're at 50 games into the season. We're hitting the one-third mark of the regular season. So some of these numbers and some of these statistics and some of these things that are happening for the Brewers are feeling like that's their team, right? They're not – so I should be excited about
them. I mean,
Still in the lead by two games against the Cubs. The rest of the division is just bad.
Yes, they are.
You look at those records. There isn't a team close to .500 besides the Cubs.
Yeah, Cardinals, Pirates, Reds.
Oof.
Nope.
I love it.
Reds.
You could tell me every day about how bad the Cardinals are, and that would make me, man, I'd love that.
I know.
The Brewers are up 2 in the division. They're at 28-21. They have the fourth best on-base percentage in Major League Baseball.
No.
Right. The Brewers have never been that good on offense. If they finish the season there, that would be the highest they've ever – that's the best offensive that the Brewers as a franchise have ever had, including years in like 1982 where they had some real home run hitting. Gorman Thomas hit 40. They had home run hitting talent. This team is better offensively than all of them.
Doesn't matter. The Phillies are going to win it all anyway at this point.
Baseball's a fun one where the record only gets you so far.
Yeah, but they are – they look good.
They do. They're leading the league in ERA and I think in run differential. They're playing really well. It's been a while since the team with the best record has won the World Series. All it really takes is that hot pitcher for some other team in a playoff series. If you can find a guy who can win two games, you can win a series. You can beat the Dodgers. You can beat the Phillies. You can beat the Yankees. If you got that guy who just does it. I've seen it with the Brewers. I've seen it against the Brewers.
Sure.
They're, like I said, 28-21, seven games over .500. Pretty sure this is the third or fourth consecutive week that over the last 10 games they have played .500.
Okay.
Which is unremarkable. Also kind of remarkable considering as bad as the Brewers were, could have been this year. You know, as a Brewers fan, you're kind of waiting for that.
Sure.
You're waiting for that downturn. You're waiting for the inevitable injury. Yes, correct. Just like the Twins. Hasn't happened yet. Christian Yelich missed 23 games with a back injury that he's basically had the entire career, except for his MVP year for the Brewers. He's had a bad back.
You figured it out after a while, won't
I? I don't know. You got a bad back?
I gotta bat a lot of.
Yeah, stuff. I've never figured out any of them. I just at this point. I just walk differently and hope it goes away, and that it doesn't help. But nope, he's missed 23 games, but he was playing really, really well before that. He played really well last year. He stole home in his first game back off the disabled list. He stole home. Yep, the pitcher and catcher were kind of messing around. You know, pitcher threw it. Catcher was kind of not paying attention. Threw it back to the pitcher. Yelich just took off as soon as he wasn't looking at him, and he stole home by a pretty wide margin. That's always fun to watch.
Yeah,
a steal of home is rare, and you know, yeah, Christian Yelich finally. He said after the game that it was on his bucket list for in his career. He'd never done it. Done it in the minors. Yeah. Never done it. He was super excited that he got to do it.
Oh, it's just staying healthy. Can you be that on your bucket list?
It's clearly not. Nope. His bucket list was to make $20 million a year and to play 100 games a year
and to steal home.
And steal home. That was it. Short list. He's done it all. He's been an MVP.
We'll retire.
Yeah. At the end of the year, he can call it. Willem Contreras is still playing. He's still the best hitter on the Brewers by a ton, but he might be making this slow argument for. I thought I heard a train whistle go through Viroqua. Wow.
Close. It was a semi.
Oh man, I wish
right there in front of us.
Hi, bud. Yeah.
Good day.
Willem Contreras is still hitting 340 or 330 something. Got 7 home runs, 40 RBIs, which are both top 5.
Almost had a semi coming to the radio station.
Yikes! Good times, man. Good times. Main Street. What happens on Main Street?
Glad I wasn't parked there.
That's correct. I was just thinking that. Like that's usually your parking spot.
Anyway,
Willem Contreras playing really well. Like he is a clear All Star. The Brewers. I keep going back to that trade that they made.
Sure.
To get Willem Contreras. It was a secondary trade of the Josh Hader trade.
Sure.
Right. Like they got a prospect and a couple prospects for Josh Hader. They flipped the prospect into Willem Contreras. And Josh Gasser, the other guy they got, has pitched really well. He's won 2 games. He's not given up more than a run in any of his 3 starts. But, yeah, Willem Contreras was a throw-in on that trade.
Okay.
And Bryce Turang, I'd like to talk about more of that because he's hitting 310. Last year he hit 210.
Wow.
This year he's 18 of 18 in stolen bases, near the top of the league in stolen bases. What makes that interesting is last year he had a few stolen bases, but he hit 210, so he was never on base. So, you know, the amount of steals and steal attempts he got way, way, way down. Watching him hit, he's a slap hitter. Like, he hits the ball like he's just trying to make it hit the outfield grass. It's not like he's aiming for the fence, which is a different thing than most Major League Baseball players. In the last decade, it's been all about the phrase launch angle. It's how high you can hit that ball, how hard you can hit that ball, which leads to guys hitting 210 and striking out 40% of the time, like a few of the Brewers did last year, like Turang did last year. Yeah, he's also only had 1 error in the field as a second baseman.
Nice.
He's going to be an All-Star. He's going to win a Gold Glove. That's the kind of stuff that wins you the division.
Sure.
In the long term. You know, like Bryce Turang, he was a former Brewers first-round pick. He's like 24, 25 years old. Right at that, like, here's where your career is going to start. It would be quite remarkable if that's his career. To start out as looking like, took him 5 years to get to the majors.
Sure.
Out of high school. He's just been fantastic to watch. I root for that. Joey Ortiz, another player they picked up in the trade for Corbin Burnes this year, is hitting 278. He's got 5 home runs. He's now taken over as the starting third baseman because no one else that they brought prospects up, they weren't hitting. They've brought some crafty veterans in. They're not really hitting all that well. So Joey Ortiz is the he was in a platoon spot where he's only hitting against lefties. Now he's in full time and he looks really good. Like he plays pretty good third base and he hits the ball pretty well. I just get excited as a Brewers fan about having offense. Like they haven't had offense since the Prince Fielder days.
Sure.
Honestly, they have not had an offensive team. It's been all about pitching and bullpen. And they have a great bullpen and a fairly underwhelming pitching staff. Their starting pitchers have pitched the least amount of innings of any starting rotation in the majors this year. Yeah. It's an interesting stat for a team leading the division. Normally you'd think that team would be a very bad team,
but that means they're striking them out.
The pitchers have been like, they start in the first inning, they're not going five, six, seven innings. They're starting, the guys who start the game for the Brewers are pitching the least amount of innings of any of it. So they're going like 3 1/3. They're going 4 2/3 innings. Their starters are.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's really been heavy, heavy bullpen.
Okay.
Which is, you know, Brewers style, but not the last few years. Last few years, they've won games. They had the most starting innings from starting pitchers with guys like Corbin Burns,
sure.
Woodruff, and Peralta. Yeah, so it's a really, this whole team has changed 180 degrees, it feels like, from last year. Manager feels the same. It turns out Craig Counsell's replacement plays just like Craig Counsell. Also, that's been really nice. Okay. This week they got the Red Sox.
Bless you.
Excuse me, sorry. There's a button here somewhere I'm supposed to push.
That's my side. Didn't catch
just
it.
Kidding. Then they got the Cubs. They got four against the Cubs. They're going to go against the White Sox after that.
Well, that'll be easy.
It should be, but, I mean, these games against the Red Sox are a .500 team.
Not the White Sox.
And the White Sox have won, like, 10 games all year. They're
15.
15. I was guessing, and I was wrong.
Dumpster fire there.
They're awful. Yeah, that was what the Brewers could be, by the way.
It's weird. Remember, we're kind of keeping track of the Athletics. So was our. I forgot that was.
Sure, that's I yeah, forgot. Yeah, yeah.
We'll do it next week.
Get on the bandwagon.
Athletics are 21-31 right now.
Okay,
they're not last.
They are very. They've been. I last mean, when for you have so many years.
When you have the Angels in there, you get, you know, just counting them being.
Oh yeah, the Angels are worse. Yeah. It's nice. The first time in a while they haven't been the worst.
Not by much.
It'll be fun to root for the Vegas A's. Do you think that's what they'll be? The Vegas A's. That doesn't feel right.
No.
That doesn't sound right. And the Vegas Aces are already taken. That's the WNBA franchise.
Yep.
What else happened in sports? Sports adjacent, the NCAA lawsuit got settled.
Okay. You want to put some backstory in that for
I
people?
I do. Yeah, the NCAA has been running the sports division of college for a very long time. Not paying players, not letting them form unions, letting athletic directors and coaches make millions and networks make billions of dollars off of these players clearly didn't feel right for a very long time to anybody who follows sports. Like it's a terrible system. Well, players finally have started getting together with lawyers and getting their power and suing in federal court. And it's taken a very long time for these lawsuits to finally come all the way through. But the players have won. The athletes have won. $2.7 billion will be paid over 10 years to Division I athletes.
It'd be curious to know how many of those athletes, or how many people that incorporates. I mean, if it's
10,000. The number was just over 10,000 former and current athletes was the number I found on ESPN. That $2.7 billion paid over 10 years is going to be divided out. They have an arbiter who decides how valuable each of these players individually is. If you played in a major sport, you make a little more money. If you were highly recruited out of high school, you make a little more money. If your team was on ESPN all the time, you make a little bit more money. You'll make a little bit less money if you were, say, in a smaller school or were rode the bench for 4 years. You didn't miss out on the opportunity to profit as much as, say, the guy who was a McDonald's All-American and
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that got settled.
Okay.
So which is great, right? Any athlete so from 2016 to 2023.
So last year.
Up to last year.
Prior to last year,
maybe 2022, because it was whenever the NIL has started. But even then, the athletes haven't really had a fair shake to really utilize it fully because they didn't. No one understands that system at all either. Because
there's not a system.
It's a free for all.
Yeah.
So as a trade-off of that, that lawsuit also determined that Power 5 conferences, which is ACC, Big East, Big Ten,
SEC,
and Big 12.
They're Big 12 still?
They're still Big 12. I didn't say Pac-10 because there is no Pac-10.
Right.
But those Power 5 conferences can now pay their players.
Like legitimately, like a paycheck.
Like
get cut.
Legitimately, cut a check from the University of Wisconsin to their starting point guard for services rendered on the basketball court, on the signing autograph section, doing camps, also revenue sharing up to $20 million per school.
Jesus. So is that separate from the NIL? Or is it kind of incorporating it?
That part, I don't know. I don't know if a player, I mean, my assumption is, if you can get paid from one one group, you can get paid from another. Yeah, like if you have a job, you can get another job, right? So I don't know how that works, but I do know that it allows universities now to be a little more transparent. You don't have to have boosters sneaking jobs and money.
So now your boosters are saying, hey, we're cutting this check. Here's a big check that they're holding in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Here. So
universities can now publicly state out loud, hey, our football, we pay our football players more than anyone else. Yes, they don't have to be secretive. You as a fan don't have to wonder why did Chucky Hepburn transfer to Louisville? Why did AJ Storr go to Kansas?
So here's the question. So do you think, because it's starting to affect football for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you think some people, like some kids, will stay now to their senior year because they now can make that money?
Absolutely. Yes.
You know?
The math tells you that something like 2%.
Or basketball.
2% of Division I football players who graduate from, who start in college, get drafted, right? Like less than that percentage in Division I basketball make it to the NBA.
Right.
So if their goal should be to maximize their income for the amount of time they're at their school, yeah, now you can stay for 4 years. You can be a grad student. I don't know how much money. I'd be real interested after this, say next year,
sure,
when they start having to make public, because these are public universities. This is in theory, this is me and you taxpayer dollars paying. But there's so much money made in college that me and you really aren't paying for these athletes. We're not.
Sponsorship deals. Correct.
Yep. But I'd be very interested to see what that means.
Because in the scheme, let's say Justin Fields, because he only played 12 games?
Correct. Yep.
So would someone like that, knowing that if he could just hangs out now, he can maximize that money and then maybe get some more experience so he's not unknown coming, you know?
Yes, players no longer have to leave a school to become pro athletes.
Because before it was, I gotta get out of this because I need to make money.
Yep. Or even before that, it was, I have to leave this school because I don't care if I have to transfer and sit out an entire year somewhere else. I don't want to be here. There's no longer that penalty for athletes either. It's a very fair system. It's much like the system that you and I are employed under.
Sure.
You work at a place, they pay you. You look at your options if you want to, and you can go other places, or you can love where you're at and make the money there too. The NCAA has. They've now kind of had to admit, hey, we're not amateurs. And the thought of them being National Collegiate Amateur Athletics, not so much anymore.
Maybe Division II or III.
It's interesting is those non-Power 5 conferences, your West Coast Conference, your Horizon League, are really, really at a huge disadvantage now. Yeah. Because in theory, they have to still use the NIL. They still have to figure out ways to get athletes to come. They can't just cut them checks because the major networks aren't aligned with those non big conferences.
Right.
So that's going to be an interesting thing down the line that maybe those conferences have to now start suing the NCAA too, or joining up with these other conferences. Sure. That was a very interesting read for me this morning over my cup of coffee, was reading how they determined and where they determined some of this money to go. It's like 45 seconds.
You know what we didn't do?
What didn't we do?
We didn't talk one thing of football. How is that possible?
High five, dude. Yeah. I mean, I know how it's possible. You know as well as I do, this is a very nothing happens in the NFL for a little bit. Yeah. Rookie mini camp, but that's not a thing.
OTA started,
because no one got hurt yet, and there's no big controversies. So, thanks, everybody. Enjoy this wonderful holiday weekend that you got in front of you. Thanks, WDRT. Thanks for anybody who's listening.
Thanks for the semi driver for not plowing into the building.
Yeah, no, that was actually the best part, that that we didn't have to experience that. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. See you soon. Bye-bye.